Oh, that's right. We're right back here. It's beautiful outside there. Make sure you get outside. 67, 68 degrees out there. Going to be a hot one, though. Going to be about 90 degrees out there. And right now on the line with me this morning, we have Dr. Paul Ruggieri on the line with us. He's written a book called Confessions of a Surgeon. And when I saw the title to that, I thought, we need to find out what this is all about. How you doing, Dr. Ruggieri?
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. You are a practice that you're still practicing general surgeon, correct?
Oh, correct. I'm in private practice with five other surgeons up in Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts. And let's see, you've been a clinical instructor at Harvard Medical School. He's board certified and a fellow with the American College of Surgeons. You know, when I was reading over some of the things about the book and everything, one of the things that occurred to me is, why'd you do it?
Well, you know, my wife kept asking me that every time I was writing a chapter.
Yeah.
She goes, you really want to write this? Well, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do. I really wanted to bring people into the operating room with me and give them a very blunt look at what I do. I mean, surgeons aren't perfect. I'm not perfect, and I don't pretend to be. And I wanted people understand that, and to understand that you know, operations go well most of the time, but sometimes they don't. And I'm usually honest with people on why they don't. Also wanted to have people get interested in their health care, stimulate people to ask questions about their health care. If they have any doubts about their surgeon or what's going on, they need to ask questions.
Well, you know, except usually I think surgeons are the ones that just the personality of a surgeon usually, right, is that somebody can go in and fix something and get out. Having dealt with surgeons and doctors and everything, a surgeon likes to come in, cut, do whatever, and then get out of there, and then another doctor takes over after that. So that's kind of interesting that you want people to be involved in this, particularly when I understand some of the things that happen in the operating room aren't things that most people would probably want to know.
They would want to know, and they'll never know because they're asleep unless someone tells them,
right,
and be honest with them. But your point about surgeons is interesting. That's true. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I went into surgery. I wanted to have an immediate impact on people. I wanted to do something right away, take out a bad gallbladder, a bad appendix, and they get better.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to rely on medicine and have to follow them over years and years and see how they were doing. But there is some credence to what you said there by why surgeons go into surgery.
Yeah. What made you want to become a doctor?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've always wanted to be a physician ever since high school. I didn't know what type yet until I got into medical school. But I had a good friend of mine who was a plastic surgeon in high school. I hung around with him all the time, very impressed with the man. And I wanted to be like him. When I got to medical school, I knew I wanted to be a surgeon because surgeons, again, have an immediate impact on people's lives. They make things happen in the operating room. They do things themselves. They're responsible for themselves. I don't want to rely on anybody or anything. I want to rely on my own skills and my own judgment.
Sure. But how did you, as far as being a surgeon and some of the things that you disclose in the book, things like your mind isn't always on your patient?
Well, sometimes it's not.
I mean, hello, that's scary.
Well, it is. You know, I'm human. You know, I can only do so much every day. There are times when I'm not concentrating on my patients, not in the operating room, but maybe in the office. But there are times. I got to be honest with you, and I'm not alone.
I know, and one of the things that I was reading, Dr. Ruggieri, is the fact that there are actually, I guess, quite a group of surgeons, doctors in general and everything that write blogs or write books, but they do it under a pseudonym. They don't actually put their name on it. Has this had an effect at all on your practice?
Not at all. You know, that's a great point, though. It's funny. When this book came out, there were some people who didn't like it in the medical profession, surgeons, and they wrote under a pseudonym. And I got some critical comments, and that kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you, because I want people to put their names on things. If they want to say something, put your name on it. Don't hide behind a pseudonym. And that's a great point. But no, it hasn't affected my practice. Actually, my practice is busier than ever, to be honest with you.
Well, do y'all take Medicare and
we take all comers. We take Medicare, Medicaid. Our practice, the practice I joined We have a philosophy. We take all comers, all insurances. You know, we don't turn anybody away.
Okay. Because you know, some doctors I know have just said we're not going to take insurance, we're not going to take Medicare, we're going to keep our rates low so that we can practice what we want to do and not be tied.
That's a problem that's becoming increasingly a factor in many practices today. That's a very bad problem.
Now, are you an independent practice down here in South Carolina? Mm-hmm. A lot of our practices here in Greenwood have been actually bought up by the hospital. So they're now actually hospital employees.
Sure. No, we're an independent practice. We're a dinosaur.
Okay.
We're a dying breed up here. The political winds are surrounding us, and we may have to make a choice soon. Unfortunately, that's where medicine is going. Practices are being bought up, and physicians and surgeons are becoming employees of hospitals. Now, that's good and bad, depending on how you talk to them.
Yeah, and of course, are you concerned about what is? I mean, you're part of being a surgeon. I guess you're the in and out guy, and so maybe it wouldn't affect you as much. But for a lot of people that have see a doctor on a continuing basis, they're talking about that doctors may say, "Well, I put in my 8 hours here today. Hey, I'm out of here."
That's a very interesting and subtle point. I'm afraid. This is what I'm afraid of when surgeons, doctors become employees of bigger institutions. They kind of lose the personal touch in their patients. And the bottom line is, once you become an employee, those patients are not your patients. They're employees. They're patients of the hospital system you work for. So they're not your patients. And sometimes that may affect your medical decision-making. I think it has to.
Yes. I mean, to operate or not operate, or can they wait till tomorrow, would those type of questions cross somebody's mind?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there are other factors that employed physicians have to worry about. They have other pressures. They have financial pressures to produce, to make their numbers, their quota. It's a whole different world when you become an employee of a hospital system.
That's right. And, of course, day before, I was talking to Dr. Jane Orient, and she was saying that a lot of kids that are bright and want to be doctors are actually being told to go into other careers now rather than become a doctor. And more of the people that are becoming doctors are foreigners in our system.
It's unfortunate. I mean, being a physician, and particularly a surgeon, it's a long haul. You know, it's a good 7-10 years of training. It's a long haul, and today's day and age, it may not be worth it to many. There may be other opportunities that have better financial results in the end, and it's not an easy profession to go into today.
Right, and that's what I think that's very sad for our country.
I agree.
So, you've written this book, The Good, the Bad, and the Confessions of a Surgeon. It's all about the good and the bad. What was one story that you could share with us out of the book that will just make people go, "Wow, I got to get that book"?
Well, you want a good or bad story?
A story maybe where you're not being as good as you should be.
Well, I talk about some of the complications I've been involved with. There was an elderly gentleman I was asked to see one night late who had a horribly infected gallbladder. And I took him to the operating room and tried to get this thing out as best I could, and I damaged his main common bile duct, which is a complication of gallbladder surgery, and it's a bad complication. And I'd never done that before, never done it since, and I had to go out and tell the family what I did. And I walk into this room with about 10 family members, and they're waiting for good news, and I sit down and tell them bad news, and they were all shocked. But I sat down with them for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and I told them, this is something that happened. I have a plan to fix it. They weren't happy with it, but in the end they were, because I had a plan to repair it. But these moments, they can happen. They don't come too frequently, thank God, but they can happen. They can make you very humble. They bring you right back down to earth, and that's just one story in the book. There are many other stories about successes in the book as well.
Okay, tell us a success one. I don't want to leave it on a bad note.
No. I mean, that's the reality of what I do. It really is. It's the reality of what I do every day, and most surgeons are the same way. But there was a gentleman who came into the emergency room one night after a motorcycle accident, and he was bleeding profusely from a damaged spleen. And you only have so many minutes to get these people to the operating room to get this thing out. And otherwise, they're going to bleed to death. And it was the middle of the night, and, you know, you're just hurrying people along. I got him to the operating room, got this thing out as fast as I could. He almost died on the table. We got him out of the operating room. He walked out of the hospital. I mean, it's incidences like that that really make you feel good about what you do.
Are you glad with the choice you made in your life?
I am, you know, because I can't see myself doing anything else in this world.
Yeah.
I really couldn't back then. I can't now, except write books.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's you know, it's difficult now to practice. It is. It's a lot different than what it was 20 years ago, but it is what it is, and I can't see doing anything else right now.
Wow. Well, that is, the name of the book is Confessions of a Surgeon. The doctor is Dr. Paul Ruggieri. Now, where are you practicing now?
I actually practice in Massachusetts, about an hour south of Boston. I live in Rhode Island with my wife and three stepsons, and I just crossed the border to go practice in Massachusetts.
Go back into Massachusetts. Now, you know, they had health care for everybody long before anybody else. Did that affect your practice or anything?
Correct. You're right. Mitt Romney put this in place in 2006, and it was a good thing. At that time, you know, the uninsured population in Massachusetts was pretty high. Now about 98% of the people are insured. They have some type of insurance. So when somebody walks into my office, they have some type of coverage. You know, some not the greatest coverage, but it's some coverage.
Sure.
So it has helped the state of Massachusetts. The only problem is that it's still very hard to get in to see a primary care doctor in this state. You know, we have the most hospitals, most concentrated region, and we still have the longest waiting time to see a primary care physician. It's kind of interesting.
Well, you were a surgeon in the Army, weren't you?
Correct. I spent 3 years in the military as an active duty general surgeon. They paid for 3 years of my medical school, so I owed them 3 years, and that was a good experience for me.
That was a
it really
good,
was.
Yeah. What do you think about the, I mean, just to be off the topic, but seeing you, what do you think about the situation with the VA?
You know, I'm not the first one to echo this statement, but many of us saw this coming. When I trained, even in medical school, we rotated through VA hospitals, and in training, we rotated through VA hospitals. We saw it then, and we saw what the situation was like, what the system, how the system behaved. So in some ways, it doesn't surprise me. The extent of it surprises me. It's tragic. I mean, it really is tragic that it's happening to that particular patient population.
You know, one of the things that I would be curious as to your opinion, and this is just your opinion, do you think we need to put more money into the VA, into hospitals and this type of thing, or should we just be letting our VA veterans go to private practice or private hospitals, et cetera?
I'm not a big fan of putting more money into a system. I think the latter may be the more appropriate. You're probably going to have a hybrid of both, but I think veterans need to get exposed to the private sector physicians and surgeons. I think they need to.
And for the future of healthcare in our country, are you worried that we may be seeing less good care because of the Affordable Care Act and doctors, as we talked about, becoming employees of hospitals rather than being the, what we always think of as that caring person that'll be there that you can pick up the phone and call or that you can go by and see, or in fact, in the old days when they actually used to come to your house?
Well, it's funny you said that. At the beginning of my practice, I practiced in Tennessee and I made house calls. You know, and up till about 10 years ago, I did visit people in their house. And so I'm not the only one who does this, and we don't talk about it. There are other people, primary care doctors, who do this in other communities. But what worries me is we're going to be coming into a two-tier system in the future. We're going to have patients who have great coverage because they can afford it, have access to all the specialists, all the skilled specialists, and you're going to have patients who don't have great coverage and don't have that access. And they're going to have to take what they get.
That's scary, isn't it?
Well, that's what worries me. I mean, that's my opinion of things, and that's what worries me.
Exactly. Well, Confessions of a Surgeon sounds like a good read. You can get it, I believe, on Kindle and on as a paperback also. Am I correct?
Correct, yeah. All the major booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, my website, it's all there.
And are you looking at writing another book?
No, it's funny you asked that.
I
have written another book.
Okay.
And it's coming out in September. It's called A Cost of Cutting.
Cost of cutting?
The cost of cutting, a surgeon's truth about a multi-billion dollar industry.
Oh, my God.
This is going to deal with the business of surgery. It's a big business. People make money. Money influences decisions. That's what this book talks about.
Wow. Now, curious question. Do you negotiate price with a patient that is willing to pay cash or pay for it right then and there?
Yes. Oh, we all do. Sure. Patients want to pay cash, and every once in a great while, we get one.
Okay.
And that's to be honest with you, that's refreshing.
That's because refreshing?
We don't have to deal with the insurance companies. We don't have to process the paperwork and deal with the rejections. It's a whole process. But every once in a great while, we do get one, and we negotiate a fair price with them.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's, some people say that that's the best way to go. I just had a CT scan of my chest, and I think it was $2,100.
Wow.
I was talking to this doctor, Dr. Jane Orient, the other day. She goes, Ann, when I go to the doctor, I go in and get a CT scan. I go in with my checkbook and say, how much is this going to cost me? I'm writing the check right now.
Well, there's something to be said for that, because you can probably pay less of a price.
Absolutely.
By doing that.
Well, listen, Dr. Paul Ruggieri, thank you so much for calling us. Confessions of a Surgeon sounds like a great read, and we'll be looking forward to your next book, Cost of Cutting.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. You are listening to WCRS right here. I was just talking with Dr. Paul Ruggieri. The Cost of Cutting is coming out. The book he's already written is Confessions of a Surgeon. That's right. You can get it on the Kindle, or you can get it at Barnes & Noble and just about anywhere. So check that out. How do you spell his last name? Ruggieri. Confessions of a Surgeon.